There's no question that the McDonald's Happy Meal was invented in Kansas City. The question is, who invented it? To find an answer, we have to go back to a small Middle Eastern country in 1958.
Election day in Lebanon has passed, and the world watches the rebel opposition to see if the choice of General Fuad Shehab as a compromise candidate will in fact restore stability so that American armed forces can be withdrawn. In the tangled webs and passions of Mideast politics, there are no certainties.
Lebanon was being torn apart by a civil war between Christians and Muslims.
Well, it was a very interesting time.
That's Nabil Haddad.
Hi.
Nabil was still a young guy when all of this was going on, and his father arranged for him to flee the country. He had a safe place to stay with his aunt in Baghdad. Well, it was supposed to be safe. He'd only been in Baghdad for a week when a coup d'etat sent Iraq into turmoil as well.
And they killed King Faisal and the entire royal family, so nobody will have a claim on the kingdom. And there were curfews. There was a lot of killing, dragging colonels and generals in the streets, naked. It was atrocious.
From a dot in the middle of the map, this is Midwesternish, our new podcast about thinkers and doers, people with interesting stories in the middle of the country. For this episode, how Nabil Haddad went from being a Lebanese refugee in Iraq to a fast food magnate in Kansas City.
I got a job at a publishing and distribution company. After I was there only 3 days, through the revolution, they made a rule that nobody who is not an Iraqi can work in an Iraqi company. So I lost my job after 3 days. And the owner of the company recommended that if I want to open a shop, sell magazines and books and newspapers, that he will give me stuff on consignment because I didn't have any money. So sure enough, I got me a small shop, like maybe 30 by 40, and loaded up with books, magazines, and I started getting the newspapers that were cleared by the security.
And your customers were people who worked at embassies, right?
I was close to all the embassies, so most of them were French, British, and American embassy employees. And the Iraqis really didn't have any money. They had no interest in books and magazines as much as the foreigners. After I was there at the shop, a gentleman from Dallas, Texas, Gene Harbaugh, he came to me and he said, listen, in America, now mind you, this is 1959. In America, we sell hamburgers. I didn't know what hamburger was. So he told me, we went to the Coca-Cola and rented a shack. I had my little cousin who was 12 years old to get us meat and buns, and he showed me how to make hamburgers. At that time, we didn't have ketchup. We only had mustard and onions and buns. And so it was so popular. We were at a very good bus station, and people would line up the street, and I finally had to send my cousin and say, go count 24, because that's all we can serve anymore. And I got done from 6 o'clock to about 7:30, and we were out of hamburgers every night. By the time, you know, I was 19 years old, I became a tycoon. As I told you, that most of my customers were American embassy employees or British or French. And I went on a Monday morning with a lot of subscribers for magazines and news and time, and so I was ready to go. My cousin will deliver some on his bicycle, and I'll deliver some in my car. There's these two guys dressed in suits. He said, come with us. I said, no, sir, I'm really very busy right now. He said, no, you need to come with us. I said, you didn't hear me. I am very busy. I got to deliver all these newspapers. And I said, you're under arrest. They took me to the interrogation room, and here's this captain sitting down, and two sergeants on each of his side, and he looked at me and said, you're the spy. You're spying for Americans, French, and British. And I was shocked again. I said, you gotta be out of your mind. You're crazy. He said, you're not only a spy, you're a rude spy. I tell you what we do with spies. Every Saturday, we hang them. I said, listen, I'm a businessman. I sell magazines, newspapers, albums. I have nothing to do with politics, and I don't care about politics. He didn't buy it. He said, throw him in jail until he's ready to talk. That was at noon. Ready to talk? What am I going to talk about? I had nothing to say. One of my father's good friends was a colonel. So there was a guard outside the door, and I said, listen, what time you get off? He said, 3 o'clock. I said, listen, I really need you to call this number, and he wouldn't do it. I said, listen, I have 3 dinars in my pocket, which is an awful lot of money in those days, more than he makes in 2 months. I'll give it to you, and please call him. All you have to do is tell him I'm here. I'm at the jail. Well, I wasn't too sure what they're going to do or not, but 5 o'clock comes. Here's this army car, and here's, I can see it through this small, tiny 5x5 window. In the courtyard, here comes this colonel. That was good. They come and get me out of jail, take me in the interrogation room, and as soon as he got into the interrogation room, the captain and the sergeant stood up and saluted him. Well, that was a good sign. They told him that I was a spy. He said, you must have made a mistake. I know his father, I know his mother. He didn't even wait for him to say yes or no. He just grabbed me by my hand and took me down to his car, and we took off.
You must have found out how it is that you came to be confused for a spy.
I sure did. Not for 21 years.
Tell the story quickly, and then we'll get back to burgers.
All right. One of my good customers was Sue Folsom from Salina, Kansas. She'll come and buy a book and bring it back 2 days later, sell it again. She keeps buying stuff, and I'm making a fortune, selling the same thing twice. She came to me on Tuesday, said, where were you yesterday? It was Monday. I was closed. I said, I told her the story of what happened with the Iraqi Secret Service. I said, that's crazy. I said, that's what I told him. And he thought I was rude. He said, now what are you going to do? I said, Sue, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't go back to Lebanon. I can't go back to Palestine. I'm stuck. She said, would you like to go to America? I said, I don't know anything about America. She said, you need to finish college or go to school. Somehow she came the next day and had 10 telegrams. Boston College, Michigan State, Penn State, Purdue, Colorado State. I said, what do you like to go? I said, I like mountains, no skiing. She said, go to Colorado. So that's where I went.
The border was closed, but Sue managed to smuggle Nabil out of Iraq. He didn't know how she did it at the time. Years later, he found out when he met back up with her in Salina, Kansas.
She picked me up at the Holiday Inn, go to her house, cracking a beer, drinking a beer. First thing I said, how dumb the Iraqis were arresting me for being a spy for you. She said, no, they weren't dumb. I said, what do you mean? She said, I headed the CIA in Baghdad. When they arrested you, I realized they uncovered who we were.
And yeah, she had been passing notes in those books that she was buying and reselling
book,
in your store.
Every book had notes, whatever. I was passing stuff like an idiot, not knowing what is going on.
As promised, Sue helped Nabil get set up for his new life in Colorado. He had no money and no job, but he did have a love interest.
Peggy, my first date and my last date, I've been married to her 57 years. I thought if you're man enough to be married, you should be man enough to support yourself. Start looking for a job. Went to McDonald's. I have a help wanted sign. I love McDonald's because, you know, I mean, I'm a burger man. So to make a long story short, again, I went 7 different times. Every time he said, I'm reviewing application, I'm checking applications, and I'll let you know. He never let me know. So I told my wife, this guy's not going to hire me. I went there, said, sir, you're not going to hire me, and I don't blame you. I speak with an accent, and you got a lot of other people on the job. I'll work for you for free for 2 weeks. You like me, hire me. After 2 weeks, you don't have to hire me. No hard feelings. I was in a McDonald's hat, apron, and shirt. The very next day, I start working.
And so in those 2 weeks, what happened?
First day, I get there, and he said, put 6 buns on. Even though I'm an experienced hamburger, I didn't know what a bun was. Where I come from, it's bread. Oh, okay. Walter, show this guy. Then he said, never mind, put 6 patties on. I didn't know what a patty was. Where I come from, it's meat. And he pushed the tray by my nose and said, cheese it. I said, sir, I'm not hungry. I want to show my men of endurance. I don't have to eat right away. He said, no, I didn't say eat it. I said, cheese it. I said, sir, you didn't hear me. I'm not hungry. I said, Walter, show this kind of dummy what to do. Oh, where I come from, put a piece of cheese on it. That would work.
Not cheese it.
Not cheese it. So he said, never mind, go clean the bathroom. And, you know, I come from a middle-class family. We had 2 servants in Lebanon. And here I am in America trying to be an engineer. I'm going to the bathroom. What greets you in the bathroom is a mirror. And I'm looking at that mirror and say, what is happening to me? I didn't know what to do, but there was a bucket, a brush, and a chamois. So I cleaned the bathroom walls, mirror, and the floor. And I went back outside. He came in there in the bathroom. He looked at it and said, that's a good job. I said, from now on, you clean the bathroom every day.
So how did you rise up through the ranks at McDonald's, starting in that glorious position of cleaning the bathrooms for no pay?
I was extremely serious about my job. I worked for 2 weeks for nothing. And after 2 weeks, he paid me 80 cents an hour, which he was paying high school kids 85 and college kids $1. I was so grateful. And so I worked while the other 3 kids played in the back. And they'll say, you're a dummy. You're not paying you anything. Why don't you just come and play with us, cards, or do something? I said, no, I'm going to do my job. So in 2.5 months, he went on vacation. Now, he instructed me and the manager, I must not work the window, which is where the customers come, to interact with them. I should stay in the back.
Why?
Because of my accent, he didn't want me to be talking to them. The manager, while he was gone on vacation, he said, go work the window. I said, well, you know, the owner does not want me to do that. I said, no, I'm going to tell you, just go there. I went there, and I was very fast, mathematically, you know, arithmetically, I was fast. By the time the customer gave me an order, I tell him, it'll be $2.75, sir or ma'am. I'll get the food, and I was very fast. So here comes this owner. One day unexpectedly from his vacation. And what am I doing? Working the window.
Yikes.
He came to me and said, you're fired. And the manager looked at him and said, sir, just watch him. So he took a reading, which is how much money. He took a reading from the other window, which is another kid working. And I did 3 times as much volume, took in, as the other kid. And I was fast. He'll go check the numbers that I gave him, the right number to the customers. He came back and said, from now on, if I see you working anything but the window, you're fired.
So over time, Nabil went from working the window to managing his own McDonald's in Kansas City, Kansas.
It was on 9th and Minnesota.
What was it like there? Who went there?
Well, it was a mixed neighborhood.
And what year are we talking about?
That was 1968.
That's a tumultuous year everywhere in Kansas City,
about
too.
About a week after Martin Luther King was shot.
That's when you took over?
I took over before he was shot.
Okay.
And after he was shot, you know, they had riots in Kansas City, Kansas. They demolished every single storefront in the street. The Black Panthers came in there and looked. They said, how come you're still open? I said, sir, you can tell from my accent, I'm not from here. Black people, white people, they're all customers, and I call them sir, and I call them ma'am. Serve them with all my heart. They looked at me and said, here's a number. We'll tell people not to touch you, and if anybody bothers you, call us. I was the only one that stayed open.
You know, what was your overall feeling about McDonald's back then?
I loved it. It was, you know, I was making $1,100 a month working at McDonald's as a manager. Then the owner of that restaurant asked me to do something illegal, immoral, and unethical, and I gave him notice to leave. I went to McDonald's Corporation. Fred Turner was the president. Ray Kroc was the chairman. Actually, they used to come to the restaurant and tell me, hey, don't wear tennis shoes. It's going to break your back. Go get better shoes. That's Ray Kroc. Show me how to mop the floor. Don't push it back and forth. You should stand up and go side to side. And he was interested in that kind of little stuff. So, again, that's a long story. I went to McDonald's. I said, listen, I worked for McDonald's 8.5 years. I'm leaving my employment. If you have any restaurant, McDonald's, anywhere in the country that is not doing well, I'd like to get it. Amazing. As we were talking to Mr. Turner at that time, here comes this field consultant from McDonald's Corporation that represents McDonald's in Kansas City. So Fred called and said, Jack, come here, tell me what you can tell me about Nabil Haddad. He looked at him and said, sir, he is the best manager we have in the country.
Eventually, he was managing multiple McDonald's locations, which brings us back to the question of who really invented the Happy Meal. As Nabil Haddad was rising through the ranks of McDonald's, ad man Bob Bernstein, also in Kansas City, was working on promotions for the burger chain. Bob is known around here for inventing the Happy Meal. But
I did take an exception to that.
Ooh, okay.
I started the Happy Meal in Raytown, Missouri.
The Happy Meal rivalry in just a minute. Some people still don't really get podcasts, what makes them so appealing, and how to listen. You can help change that. Start by thinking of someone you care about. What podcast would they really love? There are like a gazillion podcasts out there, so clearly you can come up with one podcast that this person would be into. Got it? Now hit the share button at the bottom left of your screen. The next step is to make sure they know how to listen. If they don't, offer to show them. And tell us what you shared with the hashtag tripod. That's TRYPOD. Because maybe we want to listen to it too. Okay, now back to the Happy Meal.
It wasn't national. It was just local. I put it in a bag, hamburger, fries, and a Coke for a certain price, and call it the Happy Meal. And I had people put on their jackets, shirts from the football team, hubcaps and everything, and we used to dance, send the janitor to clean the lobby and dance on Bill Haley and his Comets song, so it's rock and roll. And then Bob Bernstein, he's a genius. I love him.
Let's hear his version of this story.
He took the vision and made it national.
Bob Bernstein, what do you say to all of this?
Nabil, how are you?
Bob, you're a genius, and I said that about you. You're phenomenal.
Come Bob, on now, Bill.
No, Bob is made.
You know better than that.
Bob
you
made
know better than that.
Bob made McDonald's in Kansas City what it is.
So, do you corroborate Nabil's version of this story?
Well, I have to be honest. I'm sure if he says he did it, I'm sure he did it. I just didn't know about it, and I'm sorry, Bill, but that's not something I knew about at the time. But I have a different story about how we started the Happy Meal.
Tell it.
We did many promotions for McDonald's, mainly children's promotions. I actually had copyrights and registered over 20 different premium items for McDonald's, everything from a Happy Cup in 1968 to Happy Plates, just a lot of different programs.
Sippy Dipper.
Sippy Dipper Straw, which was the best. You're right. Nabil, that was the best.
I know.
Dipper Straw.
I know.
And that all preceded the Happy Meal, which was 1976. And actually, the Happy Meal was the last premium that I did for McDonald's.
I've heard that you were inspired by your son.
In the morning, I would notice my son, Steve, who, by the way, is now president and CEO of our ad agency. And he was 9 years old at the time. And I was watching him eat his cereal every morning. And every morning he would read the cereal box over and over and over again. Same box. And he would keep doing it. And he was a good student. I knew that he knew how to read pretty well. And so I thought, why would he read the same thing over and over again? So I asked him one morning, why are you doing that? And he kind of ate his cereal, and he said, I don't know, I just something to do. He said, I just wanted something to do while I'm eating. And so I thought to myself, you know, it'd be nice if the kids had something to do while they ate at McDonald's.
Did the Happy Meal first start at Nabil's McDonald's in the suburb of Raytown, best known for being home to Mama's Family, that weird forgotten TV show from the 80s? Or was it at Bob's globally recognized advertising agency, Bernstein & Rain? Some mysteries cannot be solved. Either way, Nabil Haddad now runs a very popular chain of restaurants in Kansas City. It's a nostalgic place with a jukebox and a drive-thru called Winstead's, and it's known not for hamburgers, but for steak burgers.
McDonald's is a hamburger place, and a hamburger is anything in a cow that is meat. I mean, hearts, lungs, anything. And Winstead's is steak burgers.
Some things are best left mysterious, but meat isn't one of them.
Happy Meal. It's food and fun in a box. It's a hamburger or cheeseburger, regular-sized fries, regular-sized soft drink, and a McDonaldland cookie sampler. It all comes in a Happy Meal box with games, puzzles, jokes, and a prize.
A prize?
It's a hamburger or cheeseburger, regular-sized fries, regular-sized soft drink, a McDonaldland cookie sampler with games, puzzles, jokes, and a prize.
I've got a Happy Meal.
Nobody can do it like McDonald's can.
This episode of Midwesternish was produced by Matt Hodapp and Andrea Tudhope and edited by Sylvia Maria Gross. Did you like it? Listen some more. You can subscribe on NPR One, iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you generally do that kind of thing. These stories come from a daily show on Kansas City's public radio station, KCUR 89.3. Check that out if you feel like it. The show is Central Standard, and you can find it at kcur.org. I'm Gina Kaufman. Enjoy your Happy Meals, kids.